This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 103, Transitioning into Spring. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. Hope you're having a beautiful day. This weekend, we got to spend some time with family and we played the most ridiculous game of shooting bow and arrows at one another while trying to advance on the field. And as we were playing some of those games and spending time together and enjoying the sunshine that has been out, it's been so much fun. I just thought about the lightness that happens when we move into spring season. And there's a natural desire to move more, to get outside, to enjoy nature, to breathe deeply. And all of those things are our body's way of inviting us to embrace spring and move into the spring season. So I wanted to talk about that on our podcast today. But before we get into that, I just wanted to give a little information about the cleanse that is coming up. I'm so excited about this. We have a group coming together. It's an online guided group cleanse. And this weekend, I was finalizing some of the details on when we'll be doing our live calls and when we'll be practicing yoga and when we'll be doing all of the different experiences that happen with a cleanse. And I'm just so excited. I think that cleansing is such a perfect way to transition from winter into spring. We have that natural tendency anyways to want to kind of move again and to slough off the excess. Sometimes because the winter has been really cold where you were, or it was extra windy or extra dry, you might have really built up some excessive vata. And springtime is the perfect time for us to kind of shed some of that heavy lethargy of winter and move into the spring. And it's really interesting, we'll talk about this some more today, about how spring energy affects us. And when we are living in harmony and balance, we will want to override heaviness of kapha with a lightness. And that's what will balance out this spring season. So if you are interested in joining the cleanse, I would love to have you there. It's going to be such a fantastic experience. And if you're kind of on the fence about it, I would say just sign up, because starting April 1st, I will begin communicating with those who have registered for the cleanse, getting them prepared, sending out information, videos, getting you completely aligned so that April 13th, we can begin the cleanse experience together. So don't wait, jump in. If you're going to do this with us, go to ayurvedalifeschool.com/seasonalcleanse to learn more about that. Now, today's topic is going to tie in really close with springtime, simply because I've been thinking a lot about the growth that comes in spring. As I was teaching a yoga class this morning, we were doing a lot of poses where we would draw energy in and then we would come out of hibernation, I was calling it, and expand that energy. So we would be in, say, half moon pose, and then we would draw everything to the center and then open and expand into the full expression of the pose. This is the perfect season for full expression, for self-expression. That's something that kapas tend to struggle with. And so this time of year is a great time to practice expressing, whether that's sharing through our voice, sharing through creating something, writing something, creating art, creating beauty in the environment around us. That's why you see so many people outside working in their yards, partly because they feel cooped up from the winter, but also because there's this self-expression that comes by beautifying or taking something that was not in existence and putting it into reality. So this is the time of year for that. Kapha season begins when spring, really we've kind of come into the warm part of spring, because there's that teeter-totter where vata is still kind of dominating. There's still that coldness and dryness come from the winter. We might get a little more snow or extra rain wherever you live. And then as you move into springtime fully, then it starts to warm up. And we still have that little bit of coolness and crispness to the air, but it's warm enough to go outside without a jacket on. You start to see blossoms. My daughter and I were coming back from the park last night and we noticed blossoms on the trees net down the road. And it was so beautiful to see that. It's almost, it seems like it's overnight that these blossoms start to come out. But there's a lot going on before they bud and before we see them. The same thing's happening within your own body, where the seeds of change are there, and will you allow them to fully expand? That's what spring's about, is this growing, kind of transitioning into a new season. We know that these seasonal transitions are so important, and if we don't pay attention, we will miss them completely, we'll be in the next season, and we'll wonder why come summertime we don't feel so fantastic. It's because we never let go of what was lingering from the winter. So we always need to deal with what accumulated and aggravated, and then release it. And we call that alleviation. So we're really going to focus on alleviation these next few weeks. Kapha season is much more warm compared to winter, but it still has a coolness. So we look at the qualities of Kapha season as cool, moist, and more stable. This is in contradiction to the cold, dry mobility of winter. If you think of water mixing together with dirt, we get that mud formation. If we had frozen water and dirt during the wintertime, it's now beginning to thaw. This can cause in our bodies an excess creation of mucus, right? We've accumulated this mucus over the winter, protecting us from the cold, and now it's going to start to manifest. And I talked about allergies last week because it's really important that we understand how that works as well. But just from a practical standpoint, this is the time of year when we start to feel the need to slough off, let go of that excess that's blocking the channels in our body. In Ayurveda, we call these the shrotas, and the shrotas are the communication channels. Really, it's the ability for our cells on a small level to talk to one another. And if we're not being able to communicate accurately because we have so much blocking those pathways, those channels, then we're not going to have full functioning of our digestive fire. Our mind will not be as clear. We won't have the energy. We'll feel fatigued. So we want to really clean some of that out. That's what spring is all about. I wanted to share just in a few different areas where we can transition into a more spring type of dinacharya or morning routine, and also how we can follow the patterns of nature. They're really simple, easy things that we can do, and it will put us into harmony with nature so that we're feeling so good during the spring. It will affect the whole rest of the year. The first thing to look at is your sleep schedule. In the springtime, you actually need a little less sleep than you were getting in the wintertime. If we look at doshically, Kapha dosha needs the least amount of sleep. So during Kapha season, if we are in relative balance, we also need less sleep. This would vary if you are extremely vata aggravated, that we would want to still maintain a lot more sleep. But for Kapha's and in Kapha season, we overall can go with less sleep. And the sun matches that. You'll notice it's getting light earlier and it's staying light longer in the evening. And so it matches more closely with when we should be waking and sleeping. I personally think springtime is the easiest time to match our sleep patterns to nature because the sun's not setting so very late that we feel like we should stay up really late at night, but it's also rising pretty early so we can get up easier. And I find the further we get into spring, the easier it is to wake early in the morning. So if you've had disturbed sleep, this is the time to focus on getting it back in order. Get yourself to bed before 10 p.m. at night and wake up before 6 a.m. You want to have that natural lightness that comes in the morning. There is nothing more beautiful than watching that sunrise. And I love this time of year because I walk with my dogs every morning anyways. You guys know that about me. But as I moved into spring, it becomes a lot easier and I get to see the sun rising so beautifully, watch the colors change through the sky, and I feel like I can breathe really deep that time of morning and I can enjoy that quiet that's existing and that peace before the day bustle begins. So start taking advantage of that. Use this as a transition time. Now that we've moved through daylight savings, we're all back to a regular schedule. This is the time to focus on your sleep, making sure your sleep goes well. Now, do notice if you're feeling this desire to stay up later because it's staying light a little bit later and use some discipline there. You will need to be a little bit more restrictive with yourself if you are one that likes to stay up late at night to just invite yourself to stay with that early bedtime. That's going to be really helpful. And then if you want less sleep, wake up earlier. I have no problem with you waking up at 5 a.m. Even 4:30 would be fine if you're feeling that energy that increases by doing so. Now, food and diet. This is a really important transition that we make in the spring. If you recall, in Vata winter, we were eating a lot of moist, warm, heavy foods to kind of balance that lightness in the air. Now we're moving into springtime and we want to lighten things up a little bit. The volume of food that we need to consume is going to be smaller. The qualities of the food can be a little bit lighter. The reason for this is our digestive fire is just not as strong in the springtime. If you think of putting a wet blanket over a fire, it's going to dampen that fire. So our Kapha dosha does the same thing. And Kapha season does the same thing. It actually dampens the digestive fire. And so we want to make sure what we're eating is very easily digestible, that it is in light enough quantities that we can fully digest it before our next meal. So we can start putting aside some of those heavy foods, the heavy vegetables. And if you're eating meat, you can kind of set that aside. Now is the time to go a little bit lighter. And so by focusing on foods that are bitter, astringent, and pungent, this will really help. Now, if you recall, there are six tastes in Ayurveda we focus on, and each one is beneficial or can increase or decrease different doshas. So here's the six again, just to review. The sweet taste is really good for growth, and it's not going to be helpful during the spring season because it's a time that we want to shed, and this would actually increase kapha dosha. So sweet is not something we'll be focusing on. The sour taste increases your agni or your digestive fire, but it's not the most beneficial during kapha season. So we still include this taste, just not in high volumes. The salty taste is really good for enhancing the taste of your food, but it's also not one that we're going to focus on because it can cause water retention. So we don't want to increase that amount of moisture in the body. Right now is the time we want to decrease that. So the taste we will focus on are first bitter. Bitter is really good for destroying toxins. Springtime is when we cleanse, just like when you spring clean your house. So bitter foods are going to be really important. Pungent foods, these are going to help to open the channels of your body. Think of something that makes you sweat when you eat it, like black pepper. That would be a pungent food. Very good for kapha. The last one is the astringent taste. Astringency is good because it decreases the moisture. So it ceases the flow of fluids through constriction. An example of that would be drinking tea. Many teas have got that quality in them. But let's look really quick at some examples of each food category because I know they can be confusing sometimes because these three are not the category that we normally focus on. Most people eat a lot of sweet, sour, and salty, but they don't really focus on the bitter, the pungent, the astringent. So looking first at the bitter, the elements in a bitter food are going to be air and ether. So right away, we know it's going to be pretty light and pretty cool. And that helps because we're trying to balance out some of that heavy lethargy and the stagnancy of the kapha dosha. So it's going to be a cold, light, dry foods. And what's really interesting is it's very helpful for the pancreas, the liver, and the spleen. If you think about what we're trying to do in the springtime to cleanse the body, those organs are very integral in cleansing. So when we bring in bitter foods, we're helping to clean out those organs, clean out the blood, the plasma, and allow our body to release what it doesn't need. Bitter foods are really useful for stimulating the nervous system in the body. And also they're cholagogues. That means they help with the promotion of bile flow. Bile is produced in the liver, stored in the gallbladder, and it helps to emulsify fats, again, helping with detoxing. So bitter foods are going to be really useful for you to increase in your consumption during the spring. I wanted to give you some examples because it can be a harder one to come up with. They will be foods like bitter melon, burdock root, all of your leafy greens. So things like kale, collard greens, dandelion greens, any of the arugula. So most of the greens you're going to see in the market, spinach is bitter. Those are all going to be really good. Eggplant is a good one. Sesame seeds. And I have started including sesame seeds with my oatmeal that I eat in the morning. I just throw about a tablespoon on there to get my bitter in. And that has been really helpful. I've noticed a change in how my body feels after I eat my oatmeal. Instead of just having all those sweet flavors, I add that bitter in. It's a really easy way to do that. And when we look at spices, it's things like cumin, dill, fenugreek, which makes a fantastic springtime tea, fenugreek, saffron, and turmeric. So those are all foods that are going to help with increasing the amount of bitters that you're getting during the day. Some of the things that I like to use to add in as well would be like grapefruit, really great bitter food. I like radicchio or chicory. That's a little lettuce looking plant that grows that's purple and white, and you can find it in most grocery stores. It's really small, probably just bigger than the size of your fist, and it's a leafy vegetable that you can add to your foods. So those are just some really simple things that you can do to add in the bitters. Now, when we look at the pungents, pungency is something that is really dry, intense heat. So the reason it's helpful during kapha season is it will increase the body temperature and allow the pores and the channels of the body to open. So that creates more sweat, which cleanses the kapha dosha and cleanses the fat tissues in the body. So that's kind of an awesome thing. We want to release and let go of excess. Increasing pungency is a good way to do that. And it also creates a lot of just fiery heat within the mouth. Now, if you have a lot of pitta dosha, this is not going to be your favorite flavor. So we want to make sure that you're not increasing pitta. So keep that in mind if your pitta dosha is pretty high. But it's very balancing to have pungent taste for kapha. The elements included in pungency are fire and air. So you can see it is best for kapha, not as great for pitta, and also not as fantastic for vata. But because kapha season is upon us, we can really add in some more of these pungencies and see the benefits from that. Now, the energy that comes with these pungent foods is very hot. They're dry. They're light. They're very sharp. Perfect to balance out the heavy lethargy of kapha. Pungent foods have an affinity for the stomach and the heart. They'll increase digestive fire in the stomach, and they're also going to affect the heart in a real positive way, creating warmth and circulatory movement through the heart. So if you're having stagnancy in the heart, which is something we see a lot with kapha dosha, the emotional energy gets kind of stuck in the heart, then a pungent food is going to be really useful for relieving some of that. Let's look at some examples to help you with some ideas there. These would be things like chilies, garlic, leeks, onions, mustard greens, which are such an interesting flavor if you've not tried those before. Something fun to just start adding into your food. Radishes, turnips, and raw spinach. Those are all really good pungent taste. Now for the grains, you could do buckwheat or spelt, which is nice because most grains are sweet. So it is harder to find ones that have a little more of that pungency. And then you could do mustard seeds. Most spices are pungent, so I tend to just look at my meal and see, do I have good spices in my meal? If I do, then I know I've got pungency. Ones that are really pungent, though, are going to be like black pepper, cayenne, cloves, ginger, and asafoetida or hing. This is something that is a very Ayurvedic herb or an Indian herb, so you may have to seek this out or buy it online. But asafoetida or hing is one of the hottest spices. What's interesting is I don't really think it tastes that hot when I eat it, but I feel the after effect in my body and my digestion. This is one that a little goes a long way. You don't have to have a whole lot of those. But the benefits of having this pungent taste in there is it really kindles your digestive fire. It helps to strengthen that so that that wet blanket of kapha is not creating such an impact. So then it improves digestion, the way you're absorbing your food, you'll have better elimination patterns, and it's really good to balance out that stagnant, heavy qualities of kapha. It's very important because it kind of heats it, it creates more sweat, can dry out the excess moisture, really useful for breaking up ama or toxins. So we always want to make sure we have a lot more pungent taste as we move into the spring. The last one that's really fantastic this time of year is astringent. Astringent foods are going to be things that help to draw moisture out. The main elements in astringency is going to be air and earth. So it's going to be very cooling. Okay, so it's not going to be super cooling the way that a bitter food would be, but it is overall a cooling virya or a cooling temperature to the body. It's a very dry, cold, and heavy. The main actions of an astringent food in your body is going to be to tone the tissues. If you have a lot of looseness or your tissues that have too much excess moisture in them, this is going to tone them and tighten them, create some good muscle tone. It reduces sweating. It will help to cool excess heat. All of those things are very useful when we're trying to balance out kapha. Foods that are going to be a good example would be apples, which is great. Most people like apples. Bananas that are green, so not ripe bananas, but green bananas. Cranberries, pomegranates, so those are for the fruits. And there's a lot of vegetables that are astringent. Alfalfa sprouts, avocados, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, raw carrots, cauliflower, green beans, lettuce, peas, potatoes, and the most raw vegetables are going to have an astringency to them. And for grains, you can do pasta, wheat pasta, or rye. Both of those are going to be astringent. Most beans fall in this category, so beans and legumes. And then if you have a light meat chicken or venison, I have a brother-in-law who hunts a lot. So whenever he gets a deer, they usually bring us some venison, and that's a good thing to have in the springtime. And then for spices, there's a lot of astringent spices. Basil, bay leaf, caraway, coriander, dill, fennel, marjoram, nutmeg, oregano, parsley, poppy seeds, rosemary, saffron, turmeric, and vanilla. You can see that it's really important that we're spicing our foods during the spring to help with a lot of the benefits of these different tastes. So this astringent is going to absorb the excess moisture, which comes along with kapha. It cleans out the mucous membranes where we get a lot of that excess kapha stored, clears out ama or toxicity. It basically scrapes the fat from the body, which I love that impression. We call that a lekana. Something that's a lekana will scrape fat. and it improves absorption of our nutrients and binds the stool. So it has a lot of good benefits within the colon itself. So as we look at including these tastes more in our bodies, we have to just make sure we're not increasing vata dosha too much. Remember, we need all six tastes in every meal if possible, but we're just going to lean a little more heavily on the bitter, astringent, and pungent during the springtime. Still cook your foods. We don't want to go raw because it's just not good enough digestion yet. So we'll still want to cook these foods, lightly steam them, especially your greens and your vegetables, and then focus on routines with your eating. Stick with your light early dinner, especially as the sun stays up later. There's that tendency or temptation to keep eating into the night. I know for me, it's tempting to push dinner back because the kids are still out playing. Everybody's still doing stuff. It feels like it's still the middle of the day when it's actually dinner time. So try and stay real focused on that and just keep it light. You don't have to do a heavy dinner. Soups are really nice. You can even do a little more room temperature foods if that's necessary or it feels good for you. Now, as we look at detoxing this time of year, I've talked a lot about that, especially with our cleanse coming up, but we just want to focus on cleansing foods that clear out the body. I really mentioned quite a few of those already. Some other herbs that I really like, though, are googaloo, turmeric, and garlic. Those are all good for cleaning out the liver, and this is a great time of year to focus on cleansing the liver and the channels of the body. So those are three: googaloo, turmeric, and garlic, that you can start adding in. You might not be as familiar with googaloo, so you can do a little more research on that one. You'll sometimes see it spelled with the U at the end, sometimes not, so it might look like Google or googaloo. Both are going to be the same food, and it's an excellent thing to start adding into your diet, or you can take it as like a tablet. Some good teas that you can drink in the spring are things that will be spicy and warming. So we don't need to drink them hot temperature-wise. It can be a warm tea, but it would be very good if we keep it warm and spicy in its constituents. So I like to do dandelion root tea in the spring, ginger tea, cumin, coriander, and fennel tea, where I just get the seeds of those three and put them together into a tea. Fenugreek, that's a really good diuretic. It helps to increase the amount of fluid that's moving through the body, and it sheds excess, so if you have any edema or swelling. And then I like cinnamon tea. I'll just take the cinnamon sticks, cook those up, and have those before I eat my meals, about a half an hour, and it helps my digestion to kind of kickstart a little bit, especially this time of year when it feels a little more boggy in there. And then body therapies. Okay, so it's a good time to kind of reevaluate what you're doing for self-care. And if you're not dry brushing and your vata dosha is in balance, add in some dry brushing. This can be a very vigorous dry brushing. 15 to 20 minutes would be beneficial. Really focusing on areas of the body where you feel stagnant, maybe through like the hips or through the front of the thighs, and just helping that lymph to flow. So dry brushing is a really good, simple, easy, inexpensive thing that you can do to help to lighten. I would go from the feet moving up the body. You can use just a natural bristle brush and try to get one that's kind of a moderate amount of stiffness so you don't hurt the skin. Or you can actually get dry silk gloves, and they sell those on Amazon. They're not too expensive, and you can use those gloves to do a body scrubbing or a body brushing, and it's a lot more gentle, but you can get just as vigorous with it. So they're just called dry silk body brushes. And stay with your Abhyanga. We have a tendency to think, well, it's spring, I need to lighten up. Your body still needs some of that cleansing benefit. And so using oils like safflower or mustard, I have a container of mustard oil, and I always know springtime is here when I start feeling drawn to using the mustard oil. It is a very spicy oil, and it has that smell, like you really do smell like a mustard seed afterwards. But when we're doing that Abhyanga or that self-massage with those lighter oils, it helps to lift the toxicity from the body, helps to open the channels because there's some heat created through that lightness of that mustard oil. Even though it's light, it's spicy, right? Other area where you can start making some shifts would be your movement, your exercise. Kapha time of year is a really great time to increase the vigor of your yoga practice. You can start doing more vigorous sun salutations. You can spend a little bit more time practicing outside. You can do a little bit more things that create heat that make you sweat. So sweating, like I mentioned, is really cleansing for Kapha. So the more movement that you can get in, the better. always keeping an eye on Vata, because we know if we do too much, we're going to aggravate Vata. So if you're thinking, I'm going to go run a full marathon in 2 months, that might be too much. You might want to pare it down a little bit. And always listen to your body. You want your exercise to create more energy, not deplete you. If you're feeling depleted after working out, you're probably doing a little bit too much. But just focusing on creating more heat, more movement, more lightness. I love to do things that just create a little bit of spontaneity. So when I teach yoga at this time of year, I try to do things that are different that we don't normally do the rest of the year. And getting a new perspective on things can be great. Just moving your workout outside can be great. So shifting it around a little bit. And the last thing I want to share with you is to focus on breath practice. This is a good time of year to try to clear things with your breath. Kapalabhati, or Shining Skull breath, is my favorite for spring. So this is a breath where it's a vigorous exhale and natural inhale, and you're using your belly contraction at the same time as you exhale. So if you were to practice this, you would place a hand on your belly, a hand on your heart, and then as you exhale, you would draw the belly in, and you're exhaling through the nose. As you inhale, it's just a natural quick inhale and allowing just a little bit of air in, the belly softens just slightly, and then as you exhale, the belly contracts again, and you have a nice forceful exhale out through the nose. This is one that I will put a little link in the show notes to so that you can find out more about how to do this breath, because it's a really great one. If you find it creates any increase in anxiety, or that it makes your mind too movement oriented, that it's creating a lot more movement in the mind, then just stick with a nice gentle belly breath. Sometimes Kapalabhati can increase Vata if we're already a little bit of Vata aggravated. Now, these are all just some tools that we can use in the spring. But as you're starting to make these changes and you're starting to shift into spring, you just want to listen to your body. Listen to what your body is asking for. What does your mind need? What does your soul need right now? Do you need a little bit more movement? Do you need to go for an afternoon walk? Do you need maybe some more time spent in nature? Do you need to eat a little bit lighter? Is it a time for you to create something, right? To solidify some of the relationships you have. So when we look at Kapha as energy, it can be really beneficial because it helps with that connection, right? But we also want to not stay in a rut. It's a good time for change, for doing and creating something new. And I love that about spring, because it is a time of growth and of new beginnings, new possibilities. As you're creating your own new beginning, just be creative with it. Have fun with it. Enjoy this transition from winter into spring, coming back to life as it were. And I hope that you'll join us in our seasonal cleanse so that we can encourage you in that, and I can be a part of your journey as you move into a more healthy spring. So have a beautiful week. Enjoy this transition time, and we will talk to you next week. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.